of worship. If you recall in Luke 3, I believe it is, that Jesus himself got up to read scriptures. And he said at that time after he read it, he said, "These things have been fulfilled in your eyes this day." So it's a good thing to be reading scriptures. And we need to do that a lot. I, for one, believe that the more you actually read from the Word of God in sermons, that it cuts down on the mistakes that the human makes. And I happen to be the human that's up here. So I want you to know that if my bald head bothers you when I'm reading, well, just listen to the words and don't concentrate on my bald head. Now, first of all, and second of all, I guess I should say, we have a number of visitors in our midst, and for that we're thankful. We want you to come back at every opportunity that you have. And come join us at 4th and Stewart, because we're on our way to that place where the gates swing out. We're never going to glory. That's where we want to go. But that's not the case for most people. It's a biblical fact, and therefore it's true, that many people are lost in sin. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, he told there on the Great Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." He says, because narrow is the gate and difficult or confined is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So when we think about it in terms of comparing things, there's just a few that get to heaven because they have to go through such a narrow way. And yet there is so many in this world that they're on their way to condemnation and destruction. Well, why is that? Why is that? Different individuals are lost for different reasons, as we'll explore tonight. Number one reason, they do not think they're lost. Most people that you talk with don't seem to think that they're lost. They have a certain amount of religiosity about them. They may even call it Christianity. And therefore, they have a sense of comfort in thinking that they're not lost. They almost believe in a universal salvation. They think they're too good to be lost. Some will judge themselves by others and say, "Well, I'm better than that person. I don't steal from my neighbor. I've not killed anyone. I've not committed adultery like old Joe Blow is over there. Therefore, I think that I will not be lost." Well, the man who thinks he's safe will not make any effort to get to safety. If you think about it, when you're out on a ship in the middle of the ocean, we took a trip to Alaska. Feels just like anything going right along, you know, just like this was in this building almost, a little rock in there. But when you get into some rough seas, then you're not as secure as you thought you were. So it's a mistake to think that you don't need to be safe, that you need something to guarantee your safety. But number one, most people don't think that they're lost. And we're exploring why people are not saved. We're just exploring why people are not saved. Well, number two, because they do not believe. Do not believe. You know, Satan sometimes steals the word from them. In Luke 8 and chapter 12, there Jesus has been... He is explaining the parable of the sower. And he talks about those that hear the word, and yet the devil is said to come along and take that word from them so that they cannot believe. Jesus said this, "Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So that's the idea, is that the devil in some way, some form, some fashion, is able to convince that person that what he has just heard is not worth listening to. Have you ever run across anybody like that? If you're trying to teach them the gospel of Christ, you're trying to, as we put it a number of years ago so much, share the gospel with them. And yet they don't want to hear that. That's the devil working in a sense there, that he's taking that word from them so that they will not believe and be saved. Well, there's no hope for the unbeliever, is there? You remember in Mark 16:16, there it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." So belief is absolutely essential for salvation. It includes baptism there, but you notice belief is mentioned twice. And it's so necessary for one to believe in the gospel. It's so necessary because all you have to do to be lost is just don't believe the gospel. But if you believe the gospel and are baptized, Jesus says you'll be saved. So that's something to think about. Well, there's no hope for the unbeliever, as we're trying to stress this evening. Hebrews 11:6, he says, "But without faith it is impossible to be pleasing to Him." He's talking about God. So without faith, it's absolutely impossible to please God. He says, "For those, for they must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Not only that, but Jesus said Himself, from the lips of Jesus, written down by the Apostle John in 8, in verse 24. Jesus Himself says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Now He's just had a confrontation with the religious people of His time, fellow Jews, Pharisees, and He's claiming to be the Son of God. And He tells them, if you don't believe that I am who I say I am, you'll die in your sins. Likewise, He's telling us the same thing. It's imperative that we believe in Christ, believe who He is, by the proof that we see in the Scriptures of what He did. The fulfillment of prophecy. The miracles that He did. The testimony of those that saw Him. Those that felt Him. Touched Him. Knew Him. And wrote it down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was brought forth this morning so eloquently. Well, number three, why people are not saved. Number three is because they're trusting in faith only. Now, I just emphasized that we've got to have faith, didn't I? I just emphasized how it's necessary to have faith in God. Faith in Christ. That is a trusting, believing dependence on God. But is faith only enough? Is faith only enough? Well, James had something to say about that, the half-brother of Jesus. In chapter 2 and verses 24 through 26, James there says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and what? Not by faith only." Now, we have some good friends. You have good friends, and I have friends that believe, they may not put it in these words. They may say, you just have to believe. But in addition to that, they're thinking in terms of only. And when they see the Scriptures that speaking of faith and faith in Jesus, it's just so easy to put it in your mind to add only in there and be convinced of that, because it's taught everywhere, almost outside of these walls and other walls of Bible-believing, truth-seeking people. But what did the Scriptures say? Remember what it says. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You just can't have an inactive, non-working faith. One that will save you anyway. Well, we can go on. Noah was saved. He was saved by an obedient faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, that great chapter of the heroes of faith of the Bible, the Old Testament, there in verse 7 of chapter 11, it says, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He didn't have to see the rain come. It never had rained on the earth. Have you ever thought about that? That's what it's talking about. Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. What did he do? Noah had faith. What did it cause him to do? It caused him to build that ark. Why? For the saving of his family. And when he did that, when he did what was right, he in effect condemned the rest of the world. We have people all the time telling us, judge not, lest you be judged. And that's right. That's right. But you just obeying the gospel and living for Christ, living for God, doing what's right, following Him by faith, in a sense, you condemn the rest of the world. We condemn the rest of the world. Why? Because they won't believe what God says. Obedience is necessary. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, there Jesus says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So obedience is necessary. It's necessary. Likewise, if I back up a page or two to Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, there the Hebrew writer speaks of Jesus himself and his obedience to the Father. And he says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. How did he do that? He did what the Lord told him to do. It upset the normal people, or not the normal people, but the elite people of his day, religious people, and they put him on the cross. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to who? To all who have faith in him? Yes. But the Scripture says, all who obey him. All who obey him. Obedience is necessary. It's a proving of our faith. We're talking about why people are not saved. Number four, people are not saved because they love sin. Now that's a sad commentary. Loving sin. But that's what the Scriptures say. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, there Jesus Himself said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light," speaking of Himself and the truth, "the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." That's what He's saying, is that He brought truth. And the things that He says condemns those folk that don't line up with what He says. And why is that? Because they love the darkness rather than the light. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 sheds more light on this. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Does that look familiar? Do you ever watch television? Do you ever see what's going on in our country? I can't speak for the rest of the world, but it sure does seem to be obvious here. Some of those traits, some of those sins are very evident in our society. Loving sin. Well, what did John the Apostle say concerning loving sin? 1 John 2, verses 15 and 17, a very familiar scripture. There, a direct command, a direct statement. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Do you notice that last part? "He that does the will of God abides forever." Now, if we want to abide forever, it seems to me that it's doing the will of the Father. Number five, why people are not saved. Because they're trusting. Now this one is what's difficult sometimes, because they're trusting in morality. Morality. You know some good moral people, don't you? You are. You know each other. But you know people outside of Christ that basically are pretty moral people. If you were watching TV this weekend and had it on the Fox News, you saw some moral people there gathering in Washington. In Fort Worth is the only two places I saw. But they're moral folk. They're trying to get back to the moral foundation that our forefathers established this country on. So that's morality. But is that enough? Some are trusting in morality to save them. Now, if morality would save, man could be saved apart from Christ. But can man be saved apart from Christ? Matthew 1, verse 21. Speaking of Mary, it says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So if a person is trusting in morality, he doesn't need Jesus. He doesn't need Christ in his own mind. He thinks that he's good enough. If it's the case that he is that he's trusting in his own morality or any morality, then it's the case that he could be saved from the apart from the blood of Christ. But notice what Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says. In Him, it's talking about in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So without Christ's blood, there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness of sins. And therefore, morality falls on its face if we trust in that. Well, if it's the case that one is trusting in morality, if that would save a person, he could be saved apart from faith. But we've already covered faith in Hebrews 11:6, where it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we've also discussed obedience in Hebrews 5 and verse 9. So if we are trusting in morality to save us, then it's the case that obedience is not necessary. But in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, we find that for those that obey Christ, He is the author of eternal life. If it's the case that we can be saved by just morality, we can be apart from Christ, apart from His blood, apart from faith in God, apart from obedience, it's also the case that we can be saved apart from Christ's church. But what does Ephesians 5 and verse 23 say? Ephesians 5 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit, says, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Whose body? What body is it talking about right there? Well, the whole book of Ephesians is talking about the church. And in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, we find out what the body is. It says, "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." So this body that He's talking about, and Jesus is the Savior of it, is the church. It's the church. So if one is depending or trusting in morality, then he doesn't need the church. But the Bible says that Jesus is the Savior of the body, the church. Well, number six, some folk are not saved because they love human praise. Human praise. This was true of the rulers that Jesus was dealing with. Over in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, we have the case there. It says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him." Isn't that interesting? They had faith in Him. They believed in Him. You think it was an obedient faith? Let's read on. "Many believed in Him, but," there's that word, "but because the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So some folk will be lost, refuse to be saved, cannot be saved, because they love human praise more than the love of God. Number seven, some folks are biased. Do you find that hard to believe? Some people are biased, and that's why they will not be saved. It's the case that they've closed their eyes, stopped their ears. They won't see the truth, won't listen to it. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, there Jesus is explaining here in this context, he has been explaining to his disciples a parable. And they've asked him why he teaches in parables. And it says in verse 11, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I take that to mean knowledge. One who is thirsting after righteousness. You will get plenty of knowledge if you're thirsting after righteousness. That's what I take that to mean. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, and he quotes Isaiah, he says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. But why is that? What's the case? It says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. They've grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Some folks are biased. They just don't want to listen. I've done a number of personal Bible studies, and I'm sure you have too. And those that are religiously active, if you ever get a study with them, so many times they have to be displeased with the group of people that they're with before they'll ever listen to what you have to say. If you find someone and you're trying to teach them the gospel, the truth, and they're happy, and they're working in their situation, it's highly unlikely that you're going to get any good response from them in obeying the gospel. That's just the way it is. But they become biased, you see. They become biased. If you recall in Acts 7, in verse 57, there, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, has been giving this whole history of Israel and how God has dealt with them and how they have refused his leadership and everything about him. And finally, when he tells them right at the last, in the latter part of chapter 7 of the book of Acts, he said, in verse 53, who have received the law, he's talking about the Israelites, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. What's their reaction? Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. Stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that what they had been doing was wrong. We run up against that all the time. Number 8, why people are not saved. Well, because not loving the truth, they've been blinded. We've spoke about that a little bit in the one previous to this, being blind, they closed their eyes, but some are blind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Here Paul is talking about this falling away that would come. And he said there was a lawless one that would come, and there would be working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. In verse 10, it says, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Do you love the truth? Are you willing to take a hit for the truth? That's what it amounts to. You've got to love the truth to be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Loving the truth. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Paul there is speaking about those that want to follow the Old Testament and not accept Christ. He talks about Moses being read every Sabbath. And when he says it's being read every Sabbath, they're reading that so that the ones they read it to would be obedient to it, you see, or be knowledgeable of it, whether they're obedient or not. And he's trying to teach them the gospel of Christ, the very things about the man, Christ, the Savior, that Moses spoke of. But he says in verse 4 here of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And he talked earlier about how they could be veiled, not seeing, because they're being taught possibly the wrong thing. Matthew 15, verse 14. Jesus speaks of those that are blind, not loving the truth, and they've been blinded. And what's the end of them? He says, let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. That seems to be kind of heartless, but it's the truth. Jesus taught nothing but the truth. He was the truth, as is pointed out this morning in the lesson. Not loving the truth, they've been blinded. Well, we've been talking mostly about those that you might be... It can be applicable to everyone, both Christians and none. However, let's kind of zero in on the Christian. Number 9, this will end our lesson. I'm sure I've gone a little bit long. You know, my eyes can't see that clock very well back there. Why people are not saved, some just become unfaithful. You've known them. I've known them. You may have been one. I know I have been. Times past. Why was it? Well, I failed to add the Christian graces. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. But also, he's telling Christians what to do, how to live this life. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful promise. And it speaks of the things that we're to grow in. That's why people are lost that are Christians, because they become unfaithful. They're not growing. Some just fail to bear fruit. Jesus spoke in Matthew or John 15, verses 1 through 6. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Fruitfulness. Doing those things that are right. Living the way the Lord wants you to live. Converting others when you have the chance. That's being fruitful. Some fail to bear fruit. When that happens, we find that the last state is worse than the first. Peter again speaks in 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That sounds like Christians, doesn't it? People who have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than at the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. So, it may be the case if a person can be lost, why are not saved, because they become unfaithful. Therefore, the last state is worse than the first. You know, while it's true that most people on this planet will be lost, there's no reason why you can't be saved. No reason why I can't be saved. We've tried to give 9 reasons the Bible teaches that many people are not saved. We found that some do not think they're lost. Others do not believe. Some are trusting in faith only. Some love sin while others are trusting in morality. Further, we found that some love human praise more than the praise of God. Then we have learned that some are biased against biblical truth and it has stopped their ears. And likewise, some not loving the truth have been blinded and will not see it. Finally, we've learned that many people will be lost because they became unfaithful. If you fall into any of these categories, it's our sincere prayer and desire that you obey the gospel of Christ by not rejecting the truth and believe that Christ is the Son of God, John 8, verse 24, and John 3, and verse 16. We ask, as the Godhead does, that you repent of your sins, Acts 17, verse 30. Luke 13, 3 and verse 5. And still the Lord asks you to confess your faith in Him before men. Matthew 10 and verse 32. Romans 10, 9 through 10. And finally, he requires, it is necessity, it's a must. You must be baptized into Him, into Christ, for the remission of sin, so that seasons of refreshing may come upon you from the presence of the Lord. Romans 6, verse 3, Acts 2, verse 38, and Acts 3, and verse 19. If there's anyone that's subject to the gospel of Christ this evening, we pray that you will do that while together we stand, while we sing. Won't you come?